brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good afternoon, Dallas. This is a wonderful Sunday afternoon in beautiful Dallas, downtown Dallas. We're broadcasting to you live from the Vista and Victory Park. And I have a special show today along with a special guest. Our guest today is David Armstrong from Courtesy Nissan. He is a sales consultant there. I have known David for the last 3 years, and I thought David and his many career pursuits represented a great guest for us here at Career Advancement Radio. David is going to talk with us today and hopefully enlighten some of you on some of the things that we're going to discuss. Our topic today from Dallas is reinvention of self. So how do you reinvent yourself? We're living in an era of downsizing, restructuring, reorganizations. And it's a very important time to ensure that we have the necessary things in our pocket, per se, to use that as a word to describe what we're going to talk about today, to reinvent ourselves in a way that brings us additional opportunities. Those opportunities may be lateral. They may be upper, or they may be, as it states, a reinvention, doing something totally different than we've done before. But in order to do that, we need a repertoire of talent, skills, and abilities to do that. So to get us started, let's think about this. The Company of Men was a great movie about downsizing and corporate America. It brought to us a reality that we live with today, even though during that time in The Company of Men was filmed about 2009, the steel mills and the organizations back in 2009, when we first started seeing corporate downsizing. Another movie that was fun, and I could not think of the name of it for the life of me this morning, but Fun with Dick and Jane. That movie was hilarious. And Fun with Dick and Jane, it gave us a variety of skits that gave us an insight into, from a comical standpoint, of how we look at downsizing and how we look at recategorizing ourselves and what we do and how we think of ourselves in the old positions that we have. A lot like The Company of Men, but The Company of Men was more based on reality. David, did you have an opportunity to see that?
Well, I did see The Company of Men, and I did not see Fun with Dick and Jane, but I think you brought out an interesting point about the steel mills. And if you go back through history, because we have to use history as a guidance of what's going on in corporate America, after World War II, when American companies started moving into Europe and to Japan, they became diversified in the type of work they were doing. And a lot of folks in different countries started being trained on how to do works to do jobs like they were in American factories. So that was the beginning of something known as globalization.
That's true.
And what happened with globalization, I think the United States of America, as World War II passed going into modern day, were not ready for the number of jobs that were going to be outsourced or the number of folks around the world that had the same type of skills as the workers in the United States of America. So as a result, companies wanted to save money. So they hired the local workforce instead of bringing Americans overseas to do those jobs. So in many ways, we suffered because of globalization.
But globalization was going to happen anyway. Well, I get what you're saying. I love this. I love this discussion. Globalization, it may not be the reason why we lost jobs now. I think a lot of people think that, but let's be factual.
Okay.
Say you own Company X.
Yes.
And for Company X, what are we in business to do?
To make a profit.
Exactly. So in order for me to make a profit, what must I do?
You have to not only diversify your product, but make your product available around the world.
Yes. So if I'm selling around the world, why can't I bring in workforce a workforce from around the world.
Well, that's true. And I'm not going to debate the issue with you, Doc, because you probably will win. But Doc, you're a professor. I'm not going to say a word. But all I'm saying is that I think that globalization, I think one thing the workforce should have done, we should have been retrained.
Okay, now
through the universities and community colleges and even in high schools. Because in the system of education, from my perspective, having gone to undergrad, graduate school, and remembering all of that, is that when you train a young man or a young woman, if I had to go back to school and live my life all over again, if God or Jesus Christ said, David, I'm going to bring you back in time and you're going to make some different decisions. One of the decisions I would have made was to get a traditional education like I did, but also learn a vocation or a trade. Hmm. Because you have to diversify yourself to survive in today's workforce. I remember growing up as a child, I grew up at a barbershop. My grandfather was a barber. My grandmother was a beautician. And they owned a barbershop, a large barbershop in my hometown of New Orleans, to Louisiana. Shout out to New Orleans. But when they owned it, I had two other cousins. My grandfather had three grandsons and a granddaughter. That was my sister. Two of my cousins learned how to cut hair. Mm-hmm. I was the one counting the money at night at the barbershop. But when I tried to take a pair of clippers, I just didn't have the talent. But I said to myself, maybe I should have went to barber school, because when I was downsized and laid off, that's a recession-proof business. A barbershop, a beautician, a plumber, you know, some vocation to learn. Of course, now that I'm older, I'm rechanging myself. I'm trying to rebuild myself. I'm trying to learn skills. I call myself parallelism. I'm trying to parallel everything, because we don't have jobs that last 20 or 30 years. Those days are kind of gone.
Right. And now we do have this shelf life that we go through. Excellent point. Excellent introduction into our segue of leaders at these organizations and how they can better position themselves to help us with reinventing ourselves. You mentioned the point of having some kind of vocation. And I think now many other colleges and universities are trying to come up with ways to have more vocation come to the table. I know back in the time we were in high school, during my high school years, not to date myself here, but
you know, that was only 5 years ago. You need to stop that.
You go, David. So yes, having that vocation does help. I remember we learned how to sew, we learned how to cook, we learned how to do things for ourselves just in case those things weren't available. And during my time too, as growing up in the, I was a member of a Girl Scout troop, and they taught us how to do many things, survival, how to start a fire if you were out in the wilderness, how to make use or start a business for yourself. Just various good skill sets that were needed that I bring together in today's time to do whatever. Not that I have to have necessarily a vocation to go into a kitchen and cook or to be a plumber, but the things that I've learned through colleges and like you, from a grad school or undergrad all the way up through grad school, I utilize those skill sets to fit into the market where there are things missing, okay? So how have you done that, David? How have you taken, because as I understand it, you have what, an undergrad degree and as well as two grad degrees?
Do you have I actually have three grad degrees. My third master's is a seminary degree in Christian education, but I have an MBA and I have a Master of Arts in Organizational Management. My bachelor degree, oddly enough, was history and political science, with a minor in economics, and I joke with people and say, I found out that the social sciences didn't make a lot of money from an undergraduate perspective, but I was stunting like my daddy. Like the song says, my father had a history degree, and my uncle had a PhD in history. My uncle deceased from Columbus, Georgia. But so I kind of followed in my dad's footsteps. I wanted to do like him. I went to his university. I majored in what he majored in, and then I found out that there's not much room for historians and political scientists. And but it's something I love. I love that subject matter. But I guess to get in the workforce, I got an MA in organizational management and an MBA because I thought that that was the way to go. Mm-hmm. And then what I found out was after I got my MBA, my second master's. You know, I was kind of like, yeah, I got an MBA and MOM. And then when you go apply for jobs, people look at me and say, what are you talking about? I got a master's in finance, one in economics, and one in business. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's got more master's than me. And he's, and we're both trying to collect unemployment, you know. You know, and so.
Well, but, I think you make a good point here. And not to cut you off.
Right, no doubt.
Here it is. I think that even though we have these degrees, we don't know how to utilize them. So if I went in the kitchen right now and I saw what was in the pantry and what was in the refrigerator, and I'm like, okay, we need a meal. What do we make that meal out of?
Good point.
And when our skill sets are the same way, I don't think that your political science major along with economics was a waste. I think that there is a way to capture or utilize those skill sets with everything that you've done in those masters in order to bring about something that brings value to you. A lot of times, once we get through our career, as we're going through our career, rather, we're striving for somebody else's dream instead of striving for our own dream. And if you work on your own dream and know what you're about and what you want, that's in itself going to bring the thing that you need. So it doesn't matter necessarily what degree you had or have. It's what you do with that degree. Do you understand?
Yeah, yes, I think my dream was to be a community college instructor. Now, I did that in Louisiana at Delgado Community College in New Orleans, but I was an adjunct. And I was with a group of 100 other folks that were adjunct. And it's hard to get on full time because in the community college system, it's so comfortable, people don't understand the word retirement. So they're not going to retire. But you know, it's like I'm sitting there like, give it up. You've been here 55 years. Now, let me stop my comedy. But folks are comfortable.
No, keep it going.
Folks are comfortable in that job. So. You have to find something else. And my story is kind of a unique story, but it's not. I came up to Dallas.
Okay, that's a good
point. A woman ran me out of New Orleans. A woman by the name of Hurricane, last name Katrina. And that was a woman. And boy, did she pack a powerful punch. You know, women rule the world, sir. And she just kicked my butt and ran me out of New Orleans.
Wait a minute. Sir happens to be our producer here. Lonnie Virgil is serving as our producer today.
Yes, I was letting Lonnie know that we understand that women rule the world. But I wound up coming up to Dallas like a lot of New Orleans. I don't know. The news media called us evacuees. And then we went from being an evacuee to a refugee. And I guess that's true because I came up in some Moses sandals. But when I first came up here, my sandals, I had these Moses sandals and I thought that would work, you know, poor me coming from New Orleans with Moses sandals. And I should have wore a shawl like Noah. But anyway, that's my seminary joking. But when I got up here, I found out that everyone was kind of fighting for jobs. To stay. Mm-hmm. They had people from New Orleans, people from Mississippi, and people from Alabama, Mobile, Alabama area. We were all up here as evacuees. And of course, the poor folks from Texas didn't understand a word none of us said. We couldn't even understand each other as evacuees. You know, the Mississippi guy saying something, the Alabama guy saying something, the guy
vernacular.
From Louisiana, yeah, the vernaculars. Nobody understood no one. Yeah. And then we didn't understand the people from Texas. But I registered for Texas Workforce, and I was required to do that. So I held a series of jobs. You talk about reinventing yourself. I went from being a rent-a-car salesman to working for a bank in the finance department, back in banking. And then I did those two jobs, and then I worked for two city governments jobs. And then I wound up, you know, I wound up staying here, and I just wound up going from job to job. And it was a different job. So I felt like, well, I must diversify myself. I learned all the skills from the different jobs, but I never could settle. When I was in New Orleans, I was a general manager, vice president of a real estate company for 11 years. And I was settled. I mean, I had a nice job, nice salary. The news showed folks from New Orleans, but they thought everybody from New Orleans only made 5 cents an hour. I actually had a good job. I was not on government assistance. I had to mm-hmm. start my life all over again. I even worked for the federal government, for the SBA. I did a lot of things. So, and I'm still trying to find a settled job. I'm trying to find something where I can stay for a long time. But I think in today's environment, that might not happen.
Now, David, you answered your own question.
True.
That may not happen.
Right.
Until you find your niche.
Right.
You have to find your niche. And a lot of people don't understand the niche thing. Yes, like almost saying, I don't know, I got an itch for this, and it's just driving me and driving me and driving me in that direction. But until you identify that, you are going to move from job to job. It has nothing to do with the jobs per se. We walk into things unknowingly. Well, we knowingly know this may not last that long. So we don't investigate. I'll put it like that. You have to investigate a company. I was talking to a young lady yesterday and she said, why do people not investigate who they're going to work for, the company they're working for or about to transition into, and what are the challenges with that organization? We live in a time of a vast amount of information, social media, and connecting in all different ways. There is no way we should know what's going on at a company. Mm-hmm. And once you know what's going on, you have to decide, am I going into this? And if I go into this, how long can I expect to stay here? Is this a transition? What is it?
That's a good point. And I guess with me personally, and by the way, I did not understand what niche marketing was until I read your book. Very good book.
Thank you. David is talking about the book that he so graciously purchased, Professional Freedom and the Midst of Chaos. It was a book written during my time of being downsized at a bank. I thought a lot of people really don't know what it is they have to go through, the financial aspects of things, all of that, how to prepare themselves for that downsizing, because a lot of things will come your way and a lot of money can be spent depending on the level that you were at that organization, trying to come out of one thing and go into another thing. So thank you for that.
Right. And I must admit, I knew what niche marketing meant, but I didn't understand the process of it until I read your book. And I also understood now what reinventing yourself means. I mean, I'm in car sales. I never thought I'd be selling cars, but you have to do certain things to live every day, to survive every day. And it has been fulfilling selling cars, believe it or not. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to be there, but it's been a wonderful experience because every experience I take on is a new experience. And it's very new. I before selling cars for Courtesy Nissan, I sold cable for Time Warner. And Time Warner right now is going through a quote unquote merger acquisition. They're going through that where right. Their name is going to change and another company came in and basically acquired them. Mm-hmm. I think one thing we have to understand is that the process of mergers throughout the world and the process of acquisitions throughout the world, it can be a cultural change and a shift within your own personality and framework.
That's a very good point. And it can be. And companies are going to do what they need to do to survive. Again, they're in business to make a profit.
Exactly.
And if they are publicly owned, they have shareholders who they have to account to. And so that's going to happen. But let's come back to Courtesy Nissan and your current role there. Everything that you shared with us on the show today about you, your coming through the ministry, doing some things, you've been very open and honest. I think the car salesman or consultant, as it says on your car sales consultant, could be a very important point for you.
Yeah, it's been very interesting.
Because
it's been very enjoyable.
I think that I would come there and you would, if I wanted to buy a Nissan, that you're going to share with me the best product. And a lot of times I know my daughter and I went to a car lot the other day. And for me, it was getting to know the salesperson before I went or she went out and to purchase that car. Just this week, just last 2 weeks, I've been going back and forth, taking my car to the shop. And honesty is just so important today. Transparency. I said honesty, but transparency, knowing who it is that I'm dealing with. And I think that's a very important point for you and you willing to come on the show and share your history We don't get to know a lot of those sales guys that's out there selling cars in their history.
Yeah.
So I think that courtesy Nissan has an excellent asset in David. And I hope that those that's hearing the show here in the Dallas metro area will go out and visit David at courtesy Nissan and look into possibilities of him finding you that right product. Nissan is a great company. I met a lot of people from Nissan that work here in the Dallas metro area. And I take it to be nothing but a good company. I don't know about courtesy, but if you're there, I would say that you have landed on something because you felt as though courtesy was the right place and that you could do wondrous there at courtesy.
Right. All the salesmen, it's kind of new. We're all new.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone comes from a different either sales background or business background. And when I had a chance to talk to my fellow salesmen, sales ladies, they really had an interesting history for themselves and what they brought to the table of how we all arrived here at the same time. And I think that right now, everybody is trying to find their niche, as you say.
Yes.
And
I think, let me stop you right there. Do you think that you have a viable product or service that someone needs?
Oh, definitely.
We live in Dallas. Come on now. We see cars on the side of the road.
Yeah,
Nissan
is a great product. We have great cars from the new Maxima Platinum Edition to the Murano to the Altima, which is our highest selling car, by the way, is the Altima. But we have some great Nissan cars and products, and I'd love to put everybody in them. And Pathfinders, the Rogue, we just have so many things. If you're into fast cars, the 370Z, the GTS, we put a lot of famous folks come through our car dealership and they buy those cars. But to me, everyone is famous. If you come see me, you're a VIP. So we want everybody to come in and put you in a car and have some fun with test driving and make sure you leave it a new car because that's an important decision. And I don't know if you know this, Professor, but the law has changed now. You have two different credit scores. You have a car score and you have a mortgage score. In other words, your mortgage score, your home score, will not interfere in you buying a brand new car. Yeah, that's right. It's two separate scores now.
Wow. When did that come about?
It's a new law that came about 2 or 3 years ago. In other words, you're not judged when you look up background information on getting credit or getting a car. You're not judged on what you do with your home payment and your mortgage. That's away.
And I would imagine that happened because of the mortgage debacle and what happened with that.
Yes, I'm sure there was some new legislation. And
I think that's great. You just informed the audience of something extremely important because I didn't know that.
Right.
But sure others didn't know that as well.
Yes, sir.
So that's good for the consumer. Right?
That's very good for the consumer because the consumer has a better opportunity to get a new vehicle, to purchase a brand new vehicle or a pre-owned car, which we call a used car or whatever you wanted to buy. Because in Texas, yes, in Dallas, the bus system is nice, but this place is huge. You've got to get a car to get around.
But they still gonna use the Beacon score.
Well, they have a Beacon score, but it'll be a different Beacon score because whatever your business is with your home or mortgage will not really count on that Beacon score.
Yeah.
But yes, as far as getting financing or going through, we go through banks, we go through credit unions. Now, we also have the Bank of Nissan, which is the Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They're located here in Irving as well. They have companies in Tennessee. They're all over the United States, all over the world as well.
So as we wrap up today's show, I heard David has been a wonderful guest. And some of the things that he mentioned to us about reinventing yourself is some things I heard was resilience and overcoming adversity, having grit and determination, as well as perseverance.
Yeah, you have to be tough and rough to make it here, to make it on Earth. You have to be tough and rough.
Tough and
rough.
In
a positive way. You have to fight. You can never give up. Now you're going to get me to start preaching, but you got to be tough and rough. You got to do your thing.
Do your thing. I like that. Do your thing. So as we do our thing, we have to remember some of the five things that David left us with today, and that's resilience and overcoming adversity, grit and determination, perseverance, as well as, What did you say, David?
You have to be tough and rough. You have to
tough and rough.
You have to overcome the perseverance. Everything you said, Professor, is so true. But you have to be tough. You have to be rough. You can't give up. Because when you think you down and out, you just have to learn how to love and shout. And you will make it. You will rise. You have to keep rising.
There you go. I like that. I like that, David. Well, we can find David at Courtesy Nissan. He is a sales consultant. And Courtesy Nissan is located at 1777 North Central Expressway, Richardson, Texas. The phone number there is 972-231-2600. Again, that telephone number is 972-231-2600. Courtesy Nissan, David Armstrong. Thank you, David.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.